So my name is Steph Cantrell. I'm a Community Engagement Officer with Polio Australia.
Now, Steph, it might sound strange to a lot of people that in 2019 we're talking about polio, but once upon a time, and certainly back in Tasmania, I think in the 1930s and 1940s, polio was a real problem.
It certainly was. And there are pockets of the world today where it still is. But the reason that Polio Australia exists is because, as you said, there were a lot of people affected by it in the mid-20th century. And a lot of those people are still around today and dealing with what we call the late effects of polio.
And Steph, again, most people would have heard of polio. They'd know the name. What did the actual condition involve? How did it affect people?
So it affected people in various ways. There were quite a lot of people that would have contracted the virus, passed it on to other people but never known that they had it because a lot of people had no symptoms. Some people had flu-like symptoms, so they may have been quite sick but not realised that they were sick with polio. And others developed the classic paralysis that probably most people would think of when they think of polio. So a weakened muscle, maybe weakened breathing muscles. So it affected people's bodies in different ways. But the paralytic polio is actually just a small percentage of polio infections.
Because, and I should probably declare my interest in the subject now, I know that back in, I think, the late 1930s, my dad, as a very young child, suffered from polio and was actually in treatment for it.
Yeah, there was a very big outbreak in Tasmania in the 37 to 38 period. Over 1,000 people, I believe, were infected with polio that season.
What was the treatment for it back at that time?
There is no treatment for polio, which is why vaccination is so important. The way that people were treated and managed varied. So some people were immobilised. You may have seen pictures of what they call the Thomas splint. So people's limbs were kind of strapped into this contraption. Other people used something like the Kenny method, which involved moving limbs. It also involved kind of hot, moist wraps around limbs. So there was a little bit of trial and error in treatment, but there is no official treatment. So it's more about prevention.
Yes, I know my father as a child, I think, spent some time in isolation, which you would have to think as a child could have a fairly serious effect on a person.
You would imagine so, yeah. And some people were in isolation. Well, most people were in isolation for a few weeks while they were still contagious. Some people remained in hospital for months or even sometimes years, or they spent their school holidays and sort of all their spare time in rehabilitation hospitals. And as you say, that would have had a huge impact on their childhood, perhaps on relationships. And there's probably a lot of memories there that some might be pleasant, but a lot of them wouldn't be.
For people who experience the condition, be it in the 30s or 40s, what were the effects that stayed with them?
So that again, differed for different people. And just to be clear, polio was still around until there was an outbreak in around 1961 in Tasmania, I believe. I'm just looking at my notes here.
Really?
Yes, I'm sorry, it was 1960. And then in 61 there were still 11 cases. So it was still around in spits and spurts after the vaccine, but obviously significantly dropped once the vaccine started in 1956. But to answer your question, so some people were left with some degree of disability. It might have been a bit of a limp. It might have been that they needed a wheelchair to get around because they couldn't use their legs at all. Some people it affected their arms more than their legs. So it really affected everyone differently. Some people it was about the breathing muscles, so you probably would have seen pictures of people in iron lungs. Some people made what appeared to be a full recovery and others were left with some degree of impairment or disability.
And Steph, here's a question without notice. When was the last case of polio in Australia?
I believe it was 1988. There was one case in 2008 where a person from Pakistan went home to Pakistan to visit and came back infected with polio. But fortunately, that was fully contained and nobody else got it.
So there are places in the world where it still exists?
Yes, there are. So Pakistan and Afghanistan are still considered endemic for wild polio. Nigeria is technically still considered endemic as well, but if they make it to the end of this year without a case of wild polio virus, they will be declared polio free. The numbers are significantly down, so we're down to sort of 20s and 30s, as in the number of cases is in the 20s and 30s per year now, rather than hundreds of thousands.
And Steph, part of the reason we're talking today is the fact that Polio Australia has information sessions coming up, I believe, on Tuesday the 2nd of July, and that's in Hobart.
That's right, yeah. So those information sessions are for polio survivors themselves and then for the people around them, so their carers or their family members. And the reason we do these information sessions is a lot of people, as I mentioned before, develop what's called the late effects of polio. So years after they had polio and made whatever degree of recovery they made, as I said, it may have been a full recovery, they often develop symptoms again. So it might be further weakening of muscles, or it might even be new muscle weakness. There might be problems with breathing. There's often significant fatigue that stops people from doing what they need to do. There can be pain. There's a range of other symptoms. And sometimes people themselves don't know what's going on. And often the people who treat symptoms, so, you know, their doctors or allied health professionals, don't understand about the late effects of polio either. So that can be really confusing for a lot of people.
And I imagine, Stephanie, there would also be a tendency, and I could be completely wrong here, I hope I'm completely wrong, but I would imagine too, certainly within the general public, there'd be an element of, oh no, well, polio doesn't exist anymore. We don't need to worry about it. We don't need to know about it.
Absolutely. So one of the sort of campaign slogans for polio survivors is "We're still here." And the reason they use that catchphrase is because it is a long forgotten disease. So people who are dealing with long-term disability from polio or dealing with these late effects are sort of forgotten a little bit, because polio is something in our past that we don't have to think about anymore. So it's important for people who are dealing with the late effects of polio to know what it is, and also for the people who might be able to help them from a health and medical perspective to understand that this is a real condition, that this is something that they do need to know about. So we do have somebody that provides education for health professionals as well.
I imagine too that in regards to the information sessions, it would also be encouraged that perhaps family members come along so they get an understanding of what their loved one has not only experienced but is still possibly experiencing.
Absolutely. So without wanting to put polio survivors into too much of a box, it's very common for them to be quite fiercely independent. And you can imagine why that might be. So they were, as we talked about before, quite isolated in childhood. It was a very stigmatised disease. So they had a lot to sort of overcome and a lot of people to prove wrong. So a lot of polio survivors have developed this fierce independent streak and, you know, a real kind of get on with it attitude. So when they start to get slowed down by the late effects of polio, often they might not really talk about that much, or, you know, don't want it to slow them down. So for family members to understand some of the symptoms of the late effects of polio and to understand, you know, why it might be that the person that they love seems to be finding things a little bit more difficult, even though they're maybe not admitting to it, can be really helpful for both of them.
And Steph, also at the information session, there will be an opportunity for people to come along and ask questions too.
Of course, yeah. So I'll be presenting some information about the late effects of polio, but polio survivors are obviously the experts in what they're dealing with themselves. So people have the opportunity to ask questions of each other, but of course they can bring their questions to me and we'll work it out as we can.
And I imagine as well, as you mentioned before, for people that have experienced polio, it must actually be terribly reassuring to come along to an information session like this and to know, as you said, that they're not forgotten.
That's right. And also to know that they're not alone. So if they're experiencing some symptoms that they don't understand, to be around a room full of people who also have similar symptoms can be really encouraging, just to know, oh, it's not just me, or, you know, I'm not imagining this.
And Steph, do people need to register for the information session coming up on Tuesday?
So it's, as you said, it's on Tuesday the 2nd of July at the Black Buffalo Hotel, and it's actually the meeting of the usual post-polio support group that meets once a month. So there will be a group of people there anyway, but if we're having additional people come, which we hope, we would love for them to register so we know how many people are coming.
And Stephanie, what time is the session taking place?
It's from 12 o'clock, so people are welcome to come for lunch, obviously at their own cost at the hotel, and we'll probably start the actual session once people have their lunch.
And Stephanie, this is the only information session in Tasmania, or is there something happening in the north as well?
This is the only one so far. So this is my first foray into Tasmania with these information sessions. And if I can set some up in other areas of Tasmania for later on in the year, then I will do that while I'm down there.
So, of course, we're giving people a few days to plan it. So if you are listening in the north of the state and you want to come down, Tuesday is the day. And for anyone that missed all the information, I have it here in the studio so people can give me a call and I'll pass that on. And I can also pass on Stephanie's email. Steph, thank you so much for your time today and thank you for educating us all on polio.
It's a pleasure, Paul. Can I just throw in my phone number in case anyone wants to call me directly?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so it's 0466 719 613.
And again, if people miss that, they can give us a call in the studio here and we'll pass it on. Steph, thank you very much for your time this morning. Great to chat.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.